Well, I recently got the opportunity to be interviewed on RT about energy. And it was a great segment. I really enjoyed it. And I thought I would just add to it because it's a very important topic. I was asked about, I think it was the Netherlands was part of a meeting in Colombia, and they were lecturing Colombia, say, oh, you shouldn't use your oil and coal resources because, you know, it causes climate change and nonsense like that. And so I was asked by the host, like, what do people need to know about this, about energy and about energy extraction, and what's actually good for the world? What's good for Colombia? Why is the Netherlands running around the world lecturing these countries and telling them to not use their natural resources? So I answered those questions on the show. And again, I enjoy doing it, but I wanted to add to it. First of all, I'm an advocate of all forms of energy. And I'm an advocate of human abundance. I'm an advocate of having plenty of food for people to eat because I'm an opponent of mass starvation, right? I'm an opponent of poverty. And it's throughout history, it is hydrocarbons that have created abundance, that have created food and fertilizer, that has created the infrastructure of the world that we enjoy today. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm anti-solar or wind or hydro. No, I love those forms of energy. They're great. You can get free energy from the sun. That's awesome. But you can't power our civilization on those so-called green sources of energy. Why? Because there are no solar-powered tractors. We don't have fleets of electric long-haul trucks on the highways. Although Tesla has a new truck that could be useful for some short-haul jobs, and probably we will have more and more electric trucks as battery technology really takes hold. You know, there's that company out of Latvia, I think it is, called Donut Lab. Is it Latvia or is it Estonia? Whatever. They have a technology that they say can have a partially battery-powered trailer for a truck, so that the truck itself doesn't have to do nearly as much work and it can save like 30% of the diesel fuel, things like that. So sure, I'm all in favor of that. But you still need diesel and you still need kerosene to power our economy, because almost all of the trucking around the world, almost all of it, and almost all construction around the world, and I'm talking about transportation, including barges and ships, and trains. I mean, it all runs on diesel, folks. It runs on diesel. And you're not going to switch that over to electric motors overnight for a number of reasons, but the largest being that you just don't have the battery technology to make it work. You can't stack enough batteries on a train to replace the energy density of diesel, even though trains are diesel electric trains. So they burn the diesel to make the electricity to drive the motors, to pull the train. But the energy storage of the diesel is a couple of orders of magnitude higher than energy storage of batteries. Or maybe it's three orders of magnitude. It's something in that range. It's a lot. It's a big difference. So that's why trains run on diesel, not batteries. Okay? And then there's the food component. So you can't turn sunlight into fertilizer. You can't turn wind into fertilizer. Fertilizer, and in this case, I'm referring to nitrogenous fertilizers, they are made out of nitrogen that's taken from the atmosphere. And of course, in the atmosphere, it's N2, which is, you know, that's the molecule that, you know, nitrogen likes to bond with itself in the atmosphere. And in order to free those bonds, you have to use a tremendous amount of energy, heat, and pressure. That's the Haber-Bosch process that we've talked about numerous times. And that takes energy. And then if you want to make ammonia, for example, NH3, you have to have one nitrogen and three hydrogens. Where do you get the hydrogens? Well, you get them from the gas, natural gas, lots of hydrogen, right? So that's where you get the H, and then you make ammonia. And then from ammonia, you can make a lot of other things that are nitrogen-based fertilizers. Well, you can't do that with sunlight. You can't. I mean, you can power the process with sunlight, but it's nowhere as efficient as powering it with natural gas. And you still need hydrogen from somewhere. So where are you going to get it? Well, I guess you could spend more energy. You could crack water. You know, you could split water into hydrogen and oxygen, and then you could use it. But that's another process, and that's another layer of inefficiency. And the higher, you know, the more inefficient this process is, the higher the fertilizer costs are. And then the less fertilizer farmers can afford, and then the less fertilizer they apply onto their crops, which means you get lower crop yields, which means you get more starving people around the world. You see what I mean? The economics of this matter. And when it comes to fertilizer and transportation, you can't beat the economics of hydrocarbons. You can't. They're cheap. They're a bargain. I mean, it's like digging up abundance out of the ground, or, you know, drilling and finding abundance. It's like finding gold in the form of condensed energy. So that's not going to change overnight, no matter how many of these Western European lunatic leaders claim that, oh, you should be green. Well, by that, they mean you should starve to death and you should destroy your economy, because that's what would happen if you went green. By their definition, they mean don't use any fossil fuels at all. No combustion engines, no trucks, no bulldozers, no excavators, no trains, no barges, no ships, nothing. Oh, you're green, yeah. And you're dead from starvation. Or you're impoverished and homeless because your whole economy is shut down. You have no industry, which is exactly what's happening to Europe, all by design, in my opinion. I think they're doing it on purpose. Nobody demonstrates the idiocy of Western European policies better than the Western European leaders themselves. They are walking showcases of absolute idiocy. It's almost like they're running a suicide cult. Like, they want their countries to fail. They want their people to starve. They want their industries to be shut down because they're so terrified by hydrocarbons that they've become, I don't know. It's like they're suffering like hydrocarbon PTSD or something. Like, you say coal and they go, ah, you know, you say natural gas, ah, it's coming to get us. It's crazy. They're crazy. And what else is important to note, and this was actually pointed out to me by the host on RT, it's that these European countries themselves, they built their countries on a history of fossil fuels. And, you know, how did they build their railroads and their industries and, you know, manufacturing and everything else? They built it using natural gas and diesel and oil and coal. And now they want to lecture the rest of the world like, you shouldn't use the same energy that we use to build our countries because we want to keep you impoverished. You know, that's the hypocrisy is off the charts there. It's like, now that we've built our system, we want to go green and you have to also. No, there are a lot of developing nations around the world that can only survive based on the economics of affordable energy in the form of affordable oil and natural gas. And nobody makes gas cheaper than Russia, by the way. I mean, good quality, you know, fully usable, clean gas, but also at the lowest prices in the world. That's what used to power the German economy. The German economy was number one in Europe because of Russian gas. Because of Russian gas. How quickly they have all forgotten where their wealth and abundance came from. A lot of it came from Russian gas. So now I guess they want to go to war with Russia. But even their wartime industry can barely function because they don't have Russian gas. What are they going to do? Beg Russia? Actually, I think this is what happened recently. I think Meretz was saying that, oh, we need to like reinstate one of the pipelines, you know, Nord Stream. We need to get Russian gas. Why would Russia sell you gas when you're funding the war against Russia? You know, it just, these leaders are absolute morons. They have no idea how stupid they sound when they say these things. I don't know if they're just completely disconnected from reality, if they've been lobotomized, or if they're being humiliated and told to read this script, and it sounds so stupid that everybody's laughing at them, but it's a total clown show. If Germany wants to be great again, make Germany great again, you know, Magooga, instead of MAGA, make Germany great again, you should apologize to Russia and beg for Russian gas. And then you could have German industry back. That's the only way. That's the only way. Because the German government will never use German hydrocarbons again, apparently, for whatever reason. It's just too woke and just too suicidal. And, you know, given the history between Germany and Russia, and how Russia already defeated Germany, well, the Soviet Union defeated Germany in the Second World War, why should Russia sell gas to Germany? You know, because German leaders are just going to make the same error again. Like, hey, let's go defeat Russia and steal all the resources. Yeah. Yeah, you've tried that now twice, at least twice, and it has failed miserably both times. Probably won't work for some reason. You know, Stalingrad MFers, man, I would just rub their noses in Stalingrad, you know. Anyway, I'm talking about the German Sixth Army and what happened there. My favorite little piece of history from World War II, by the way. The resilience of the Soviet people in that day was just unbelievable. And the sacrifice was unbelievable. Think about that. You know, Russia has paid a very heavy price throughout history for becoming who they are today. They paid a price not just in World War II, but they paid a price earlier in previous wars, and they paid a price also in terms of the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, and then the sanctioning of Russia by the United States, and also the attempted infiltration and overthrow of Russia by Western forces. They have paid an immense price. And I'm not saying they're the only ones. I mean, Ukraine has paid a huge price that has been inflicted upon them by the United States and NATO countries. See, NATO sacrificed Ukraine to try to weaken Russia. It didn't defeat Russia, but it has nearly destroyed Ukraine. So Ukraine has paid a price. Russia has paid a price too. And the price Russia paid was in tens of millions of lives lost in the 1930s and 40s because of Germany. If anything, you know, if Russia wanted to be practical about it, they would say to Germany, okay, we'll sell you gas. Here's how it's going to work. You're going to pay, okay, we're going to ship you how much you need, 100 billion cubic meters a year? Okay, no problem. But for every cubic meter, you're going to pay us 10 euros for reparations for the war that you have inflicted upon us since February of 2022. And that 10 euros per cubic meter, that will stay in place in perpetuity. So yeah, how much Russian gas do you want to buy at spot plus 10 euros per cubic meter? We'll ship you all the gas you want. That's what Russia should do, frankly. Just to make up for the history of the whole situation. Because Germany has inflicted these costs upon Russia all throughout, you know, relatively recent history. So anyway, but Germany won't agree to do that, obviously. And Germany is going to collapse. That is, let me qualify that. Germany is going to collapse from the nation we once knew as the industrial and even cultural leader of Europe, and at one time the science leader of the world. How much science came out of Berlin in the 1920s and 1930s, and, you know, atomic physicists and so on, right? Germany was the center of scientific innovation. Those days are forever gone, done. Germany was then later, especially in the 1980s and 1990s, you know, it was the miracle of industry of Western Europe. Those days are gone because, again, that was powered by Russian gas for the most part. Germany was once a military leader in World War II, innovation, panzer tanks, V2 rockets harassing the British. Germany was a military leader. Those days are long gone. Germany can't even really build a military anymore. And the United States took all their scientists through Operation Paperclip and put them in charge of NASA and other organizations like Big Pharma, etc. So Germany's done. Germany's done. Germany is a nation that will not defend itself. And it has everything to do with energy, which is the main theme of my podcast here. So Russia has a strong future because Russia understands the importance of domestic self-reliance, domestic supply chains, domestic steel industry, domestic mining, aluminum, phosphates, on and on, but also innovation and military industry, making your own tanks, making your own hypersonic missiles, Kinzhal missiles, Oreshnik missiles, advanced, I mean, freaking nuclear-powered cruise missiles that can fly apparently for weeks or months based on nuclear-based propulsion systems. The West doesn't have anything even approaching that. Russians have figured things out. They're some smart cookies. And they have energy, and they have steel, and they have food, and they have culture, and they have history. I mean, who was dumb enough to think that you could just go wipe that out? I'm back to Western Europe again, but the idiocy of the Western European leaders is so astonishing that I can't get over it. It's like a suicide cult run by woke morons at this point. It's just unbelievable. But then again, in the United States, our leadership is guilty of some of the same things. Under Democrats, we were also woke idiots that were destroying domestic energy infrastructure. And to his credit, one of the things that Trump has done, although I'm unhappy with Trump about a lot of things like the war, but Trump has at least incentivized domestic energy production, which is the smartest single thing that he could do. Just build the pipelines, extract the energy, help us be as self-reliant as possible, but also pursue solar, also pursue hydropower and other forms. Diversify your energy like China has done. China's very diversified. You know, wind, solar, hydro, coal, oil, gas, every form of energy, China's got it. And so that way they're not held hostage by, you know, the Strait of Hormuz or anything like that. China's been smart about it. Russia has been smart. Even Iran has been smart. And under Trump, America is being less retarded than we were under Joe Biden. Let's put it that way. Less retarded, but still a long ways to go. So anyway, that's my take on energy. All of human abundance that we currently recognize has come from energy. Food, fuel, transportation, construction, advanced materials, you know, polymers, polyethylene, you name it. It all comes from energy. Most of it comes from hydrocarbons, okay? So if you get rid of hydrocarbons, then you must hate human civilization or something. And that's what the woke leaders, they do hate humans. They hate human populations. They want to depopulate the planet. And that's how they came up with climate change and global warming, all kinds of other bull crap that they're still pushing out there. So that's the truth about the situation. I'm Mike Adams. You can follow my work at brightvideos.com or naturalnews.com. And for some reason, people are really loving my new infographics that are coming out. I'm putting out infographics every day and people love them. So you can find those infographics in my stories at naturalnews.com. And I'm actually going to upgrade those too, because I've figured out a way to add more detail to them. It's going to be great. So thank you for listening. And hey, check out the deals I've put together for you. I've got a bunch of affiliate deals with discounts at rangerdeals.com. And there you can find goldbacks, you can find de-Googled phones, you can find the peptides that I use for peptide therapy, like BPC-157, which coincidentally came out of Russian research. How cool is that? I mean, it's an amazing peptide. And I've got some other deals for you there. Just find them at rangerdeals.com. I think you'll be happy that you did. The discount code is Ranger, and it includes even for firearms like shieldarms.com. If you use discount code Ranger, you'll save money on firearms and magazines and other things. So check it all out, and thank you for your support. And take care, everybody. Be well.
Right now, more than ever, it's critical to eliminate counterparty risk. That's my belief, and don't take this as financial advice because I'm not your financial advisor, but when you want physical gold and silver in your hands or vaulted, professionally vaulted, insured, high security vault, etc., that eliminates that counterparty risk, which I think is an extreme risk right now. I think banks are going to fail and we're going to have bank bail-ins. The currency is failing every day, you know, kind of little by little because of all the money printing and the valuation erosion that's accelerating. Also because of what's happening in the Middle East, more and more countries are agreeing to sell oil in currencies other than the dollar. And the only way that treasury yields are kept low is by the Fed printing money and buying our own debt, because there aren't enough international buyers to buy our debt anymore. So our country is like a snake eating its own tail financially. It's buying its own debt, and this is going to end badly. And when it does, in my opinion, those who hold dollars, even in bank accounts or in the stock market or whatever, they're going to be devastated by the losses. Gold and silver are the best way, in my opinion, to preserve your assets and make it through the coming storm. And the best place to get gold and silver is a company I've been working with, the original founders of the group, for 6 or 7 years now. Today it's called Battalion Metals, and you can reach them at metalswithmike.com. And the reason it's called Battalion Metals now is because they did a joint venture with Tucker Carlson. So Tucker Carlson is the co-founder of Battalion Metals. It's the same group I've worked with for years. And let me tell you about these people. They are pro-freedom, pro-liberty, pro-Ron Paul type of people. They respect your privacy. They understand the importance of your security, your privacy, and the importance of giving you gold and silver at the best possible competitive prices. So there's no bait and switch. There's no, you know, rigging. There's no weird coins like, here, have this 1.5 ounce thing that nobody knows what it is. They don't play games. Otherwise, I wouldn't promote them. This is the same company, metalswithmike.com, Battalion Metals. This is the same group that I recommend to my family, to my friends, and that I use myself. And I stack gold and silver every month, just a certain amount every month, and I have it vaulted with their vaults because I know I can trust them, because they're professionals. They're high integrity people. They're not fly by night. They are the kind of people that you can trust. Again, otherwise I wouldn't even be associated with them. So when you want to get gold and silver in your hands and eliminate that counterparty risk, this is the way to do it. Just go to metalswithmike.com. You can see the prices right there online in real time at Battalion Metals, or you can schedule a call with them. Just use this button right here, schedule a call. And they are trustworthy, high integrity, knowledgeable people who can help you devise a strategy that's suitable for you. Just remember, I'm not your financial advisor. I can't give you an investment strategy personalized for you. You need to do that yourself with your own advisors. You can talk with Battalion Metals and they can help give you a lot of information and some planning as well. But make the best decision for you. And you're going to make it through this. You'll make it through the storm, even as other people lose the value of their dollars or their other investments. Gold and silver will make it through. And right now, in my opinion, gold and silver are still at an incredible buying opportunity in terms of price compared to where they're going to be represented in dollars in the near future. That's my opinion. Do your own research. Do what's best for you. And check it all out at metalswithmike.com. So thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you all. Take care.